Listening to sermons as we go about our days, driving around or doing our work, is a perfect reminder of our Lord's promises and of His mercies. This is the mission of Upper Room Media, to make the Word of God accessible to anybody and everybody.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Let us read from Joshua 18, starting from verse 2. Joshua 18, starting from verse 2. But there remained among the children of Israel seven tribes, which had not yet received their inheritance. Then Joshua said to the children of Israel, "How long will you neglect to go and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers has given you? Pick out from among you three men for each tribe, and I will send them. They shall rise and go through the land, survey it according to the inheritance, and come back to me. And they shall divide it into seven parts. Judah shall remain in their territory on the south, and the house of Joseph shall remain in the territory on the north. You shall therefore survey the land in seven parts, and bring the survey here to me, that I may cast lots for you here before the Lord our God." Glory be to the Holy Trinity, now and forever, on the age of the ages. Amen. Actually, Joshua led the children of Israel to the promised land. And then God divided the promised land to the children of Israel. But seven tribes did not actually receive their part. Why? Because they were complacent. They were lazy. Or in other words, they had the attitude of, "We do not care. We do not care." That's why Joshua told them, "How long you neglect to go and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers has given you? Why you are complacent? Why you are not zealous? Why you are not motivated to go and take this land that God actually gave you?" So many of us, we have this attitude that, "I don't care." This attitude can be in my spiritual life. Why you are not fasting? Don't you know that the coming of the Lord is at hand? We need to fast, we need to pray, we need to go to the church, we need to repent, we need to be ready for the coming of the Lord. But our attitude is, "I don't care." The same in school. Some of us actually, we don't study hard. We don't do our homework on time. And if our parents tell us, "Why don't you finish your homework? Why you do not turn in your assignment? Why you don't study well?" Our attitude is, "I don't care." Even if you did not say it, but this is your attitude, "I don't care." Even if you don't say the word, "I don't care." Again, in in our homes. For example, we see things that need to be done. We need to go and do, for example, some shopping for the house, or we assist in cleaning the house, or we assist in any house chores. But I don't care about what the house is needed. I care about what I need, and that's it. This story reminds me with the parable of the Good Samaritan. There was a Jewish man, half dead and half alive, because the thieves attacked him and they beat him to the point of death. And then a priest passed by and looked at him and he said, "I don't care. I have to go to the temple to offer the sacrifice." A Levite, after the priest, looked at him with the same attitude. "I don't care, I don't know him." So many times we see people need us, need our help, need our intervention, but our attitude, "I don't care." You come to the church, you find it, for example, not clean, or things has to be done to organize it, to clean it, but "I don't care." And so on. This attitude actually infiltrated our life. So, how to identify if you have this "I don't care" attitude? Number one, lack of inner motivation. Lack of inner motivation. You are not motivated. Like these seven tribes. They were not motivated to claim their inheritance, to take their land. There was apathy in their hearts. They were indifferent whether to take the land or not. For example, they will tell you, "After the sermon tonight, we'll have midnight praises. Come and attend with us." But you are indifferent. There is no inner motivation to motivate you to attend the midnight praises. Another thing to identify whether you have "I don't care" attitude or not, always, always, you will find good excuses to be stagnant in your place, to be not progressive. Excuses all the time. For example, you go to your father of confession, and Abuna try to help you to organize your time to pray the Agbeya in the morning and at night. And every idea or solution Abuna offers you, you will find a problem. So for every solution Abuna give you, you will find a problem. In order at the end not to pray the Agbeya. So you have always good excuses, good excuses. As we read in Proverbs chapter 24, verse 30 and verse 31. "I went to buy the field of the lazy man, and buy the vineyard of a man devoid of understanding. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down." So, this person who left his field to be like this, definitely he had excuses why not to clean his field. Excuses like what? In Proverbs chapter 22, verse 13, the lazy man says, "There is a lion outside. I shall be slain in the streets." There is a lion outside. No, I cannot go to work. I cannot go to school. Because if I leave, I will be slain in the streets. Excuses all the time. Also, you may have a false sense of security and a lack of concern for the situation around you. False sense of security and lack of concern for the situation around you. For example, Cain killed his brother Abel. And then the Lord told him, "Where is Abel, your brother?" He replied to the Lord, "Am I guardian to my brother?" And he had this false sense of security, as if he considered no one will discover what he did to Abel. This sense of security, we can read it also with Hezekiah. There is a story in 2 Kings chapter 20 from verse 12 to 19. Hezekiah was sick. So the king of Babylon sent some gifts and letters to Hezekiah. And Hezekiah had a false sense of security. Although the Lord instructed him not to show what he had to any foreign king. But Hezekiah, when the king of Babylon sent gifts and letters to him, as we read in Hezekiah, in 2 Kings 20, verse 13, Hezekiah was attentive to them and showed them all the house of his treasures, the silver and gold, the spices and precious ointment, and all his armory. All that was found among his treasures, there was nothing in his house or in all his dominion that Hezekiah did not show them. And then when actually he did this, God was disappointed. He sent Isaiah to Hezekiah and he told him, "Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and what your fathers have accumulated until this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left," says the Lord. And this is exactly what happened. So Hezekiah had a false sense of security. He thought that if he showed all his treasures to the messengers of the king of Babylon, they will not be envious. They will not actually plan to take all his treasures. Another thing actually can be a reason is the immaturity and lack of commitment to our spiritual life. Immaturity and lack of commitment. In Luke chapter 18, there is a story about a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. So this person actually, he did not fear God. So there was no commitment to his spiritual life. Uh, And many of us, we act in our life with no fear of God. And when somebody tells us, Abuna, or Sunday school servant, or our parents, tells us, God is watching over you. God is seeing what you are doing. Then your attitude, I don't care. I don't care. And even if you were told, this is the commandment of God, this is what God told us to do, but our attitude, I don't care. I'm indifferent to the word of God. What makes a person reach this stage? Sometimes when we fail in a task, then we lose motivation and we become discouraged. And since we become discouraged and we lose motivation, we develop this attitude, I don't care attitude, because you failed in a certain task. We read in the book of Numbers, chapter 21, after the children of Israel left the land of Egypt, and it was a difficult trip in the wilderness of Sinai. So we read in Numbers 21, verse 4, and the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. They became very discouraged. So the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and our soul loses this worthless bread. So sometimes when we fail, we become discouraged. That's why I say, why should I care anymore? I tried and I tried and I failed. What should I care anymore? For example, if you are struggling against a sin in your life, against a bad habit, and you struggled for some time to overcome this bad habit, but you couldn't, then you say, why should I struggle anymore? I don't care. Or sometimes when your desires are not fulfilled immediately, or there was delay in fulfilling your desires, there is a delay in fulfilling your desire. So we have the same attitude. As we read in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12, hope deferred makes the heart sick. So when you hope for something and then your desire is delayed, you did not get it, then this makes the heart sick. This makes the heart sick. And when your desires are not fulfilled, you develop this attitude, I don't care. For example, if you are in high school and you want to go to a certain college, and you applied and you applied, but you get denied, then you say, I don't care anymore. Or if in trying to fulfill a certain desire, you found many obstacles, many obstacles. If an adult is trying to find a job, a good job, and he is applying so many resumes and applying for many jobs, and all of them got rejected, so he may develop this attitude also, I don't care. And sometimes we have realistic expectation of ourselves. Unrealistic expectation of ourselves. Those who are perfectionists. And because you have unrealistic expectation, you will never meet this expectation. And because you will never meet this expectation, then you will be discouraged. And once you become discouraged, you will say, I don't care anymore. For example, if you want to be the first in your class, but you couldn't, and you tried and you tried, maybe it is beyond your ability. This is not a realistic expectation. Then you become discouraged and you say, I don't care anymore. Also, people who have low self-esteem or feel they are inferior to others. If you believe others are better than you, you are inferior to them. Then you will be discouraged because in your mind, no way that one day you will be like these people, like other people. Of course, this is a false feeling. And the reason, because you have low self-esteem and inferiority. This feeling of inferiority will make you discouraged. And then, actually, you will develop this attitude, I don't care. Also, people who have little material possessions, they consider themselves they are poor. And speaking about material possessions, they are poor. And they feel that others are better than them. Then they will develop this attitude, I don't care. Because again, they are discouraged. In spiritual life, lack of total repentance, and as I said, struggling with sin for a long time can make the person feel or develop this attitude, I don't care attitude. Why this attitude is danger? Is dangerous? What are the dangers of I don't care attitude? If you develop this attitude, I don't care, then you will neglect your relationship with God and with others, with your family, with your friends, with the godly families in the church. If always your attitude, I don't care, then how can you develop a good relationship with God or a good relationship with your family or with your friends? Or with God's family in the church, it will be a big challenge. Also, your progress, whether academic progress or spiritual progress, or in any aspect in your life, social progress or anything, it will be slow and delayed because you are not motivated. You are not zealous. You just laid back and you have this attitude, whatever happens, happens. I don't care. And definitely once you have this attitude, this is not the attitude of the children of God. Because as St. Paul said, God did not give us the spirit of timidity, but he gave us the spirit of power and success. The children of God, they are motivated. They say, I can do all things in Jesus Christ who strengthens me. Even if there are obstacles, through the grace of God, they can overcome these obstacles. So, now, if you don't say, I can do all things in Jesus Christ who strengthens me. Then you are not in the kingdom of God. You will be an agent for Satan. You will be in bondage to Satan. So this is one of the very serious outcome of this attitude, I don't care attitude. Because you can commit so many sins because you don't care even about your spiritual life. So at the end, you will be a slave of Satan. And because of this attitude, you will never have satisfaction or fulfillment in life or happiness. You took this attitude, I don't care, maybe to be happy, but the person will never have this happiness or feeling of contentment or satisfaction in his life. So, if I have this attitude, I don't care. Now we explained why it is dangerous, and also we said what are the signs to understand or to know whether you have this attitude or not. As I said, not caring about anything can have a serious impact on your life. It can make it hard to reach your goals, or may cause you to do things that you don't actually, that don't reflect your values or expectation, just because you don't care. Not caring about things can affect your school, your relationship, your energy level, your emotions, and your daily pursuits. So what is the treatment? What's the treatment? If you feel that you are not interested and seriously you don't care about anything in life, spiritual life, academic life, career life, etc. So what are the practical steps in order to overcome this I don't care attitude? Number one, actually, you need to put your trust in the Lord. And there is one thing we say it in the litany for the sick in the Divine Liturgy. We say about God, He is the hope of the hopeless and the help of the helpless. Even if there is a hopeless case and helpless case, like a dead person. A dead person, there is no hope for this dead person to rise again. And this dead person cannot help himself. He's dead. And you cannot help him. You cannot give him medicine. But God is the hope of the hopeless and the help of the helpless. You remember the story of Lazarus. He was dead and he was in the tomb for 4 days. So his sisters, Mary and Martha, lost every hope. It is a hopeless case and helpless case. And they actually admitted this to the Lord Jesus Christ when they told him, if you came a little bit early when our brother was sick, maybe you were able to help him and heal him. But now he is dead. Even when the Lord asked them to remove the stone, Martha said to him, he is dead, there is a stench. But God told her,
Just believe and you will see the glory of God. And God, the hope of the hopeless and the help of the helpless, he raised Lazarus from death after was being in the tomb for 4 days. There is another story in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, starting from verse 8. I like this passage from the scripture very much. St. Paul said, "For we don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia." He told them, "I want to share with you what happened to us when I was in Asia." What happened? "That we were burdened beyond the measure, above his strength, so that we despaired even of life." So they went through big, big problem beyond their ability, to the extent that St. Paul said, "We became despaired of life." So they said, "There is no hope to be delivered from this problem. We will die." But how they resolved this? How not to lose their motivation? If you are in a situation that's so, so difficult, beyond your ability, so how can you resolve it? So they said, "We had the sentence of death in ourselves." So St. Paul said, "Now, as if we are dead. So we should not trust in ourselves. If I am dead, I cannot trust in myself. Lazarus cannot trust in himself because he is dead. But in God who raises the dead." So St. Paul actually put all his trust in God, not in himself. He said, "I can do nothing. I am dead. But I will put all my trust in God who raises the dead. And now in the 50 days of resurrection, and I want you to get from resurrection of Christ hope, courage, motivation, zeal. I can do all things in Jesus Christ who strengthens." Okay, what happened to St. Paul? Verse 10. "God delivered us from so great a death." So when they put their trust in God, God delivered them from so great a death. And does deliver us. He delivered us in the past. But he said, "But I have hope that he will now also," he is delivering us. "In whom we trust that he will still deliver us in the future." So St. Paul said, we have this trust in God. He delivered us. He does deliver us. He will deliver us. So if you are struggling against sin and you cannot actually overcome it, and you tell me, "I tried and tried for so many months, but I couldn't overcome this sin," I tell you, don't trust in yourself. Put your trust in God. Ask God to help you. Tell him, "God, I am like Lazarus. I am dead. I am completely dead. I am hopeless and helpless case. Now, come and help me. Say a word that I may rise. As you raised Lazarus, say a word in order to raise my soul from the deadness." So number one, to overcome "I don't care" attitude, number one, put your trust to God. Number two, think about causes. I mentioned some causes of "I don't care" attitude, like unrealistic expectation of yourself, like failure in a certain task. So think about the causes. What made you reach this stage of I don't care? And you need to realize that coping with these reasons with I don't care attitude, it is a wrong way to cope. You know, people who take a drug, sometimes they take drug or abuse drugs because they have this attitude, I don't care attitude. So they use drugs. Maybe they fail, and the way to cope to use drugs, and when you tell them, you know, drugs will destroy your life, drugs will kill you, they will tell you something, I don't care anymore. I am a failure in my life. Anyway, I don't care. Think about the reason and try to choose another coping mechanism, another way to cope other than I don't care. I don't care is not the right way to cope with your struggles. Number three, you need to vary your routine. Don't get stuck in doing more of the same. What do I mean doing more of the same? If you tried something several times and it failed, then why if you try number 20 or 25, it will work? Some people believe if you keep trying the same thing, you will get different result. That's not right. If you keep trying the same thing, you will actually get the same result. So don't do more of the same. You need actually, for example, I failed. Why I failed? I need to do something differently. Not to try in the same way I tried before, 5 times or 7 times. I need to think differently and try different. Vary your routine. So don't do the same routine that made you reach this stage of I don't care attitude. Number four, take care of yourself. Good sleep, good diet, exercise, all these things, besides, of course, your spiritual life, which I mentioned as number one, this actually will help you to get out of this mood, I don't care. So take care of yourself spiritually. Take care of yourself. Physically, yes. Good diet, sleep well, exercise, all these things actually will help you to get out of this mood of I don't care. This apathetic mood. Also, number five, try small steps, even in prayer. And many times I say to people, if you cannot pray 20 minutes, you get bored. What about just pray for 5 minutes? And then maybe after 2 hours, another 5 minutes. And after 2 hours, another 5 minutes. And after 2 hours, another 5 minutes. These are the 20 minutes. But you take them in small doses, in small steps. Sometimes we ask people, if your goal is 10, that is the task you want to achieve, that's the goal you want to achieve, number 10. where are you now? He may tell me, I am now like 3 or 2 or even 1. So if you try to jump from 1 to 10, it's very different. That's why we tell them what you can do to move from like number 2 to number 3. So take small steps. And then when you reach number 3, you will feel that you achieved something. You are happy because you achieved something. The other step, next step will be from 3 to 4 and so on. You need actually, when you break your goal into small steps, this will motivate you because you succeeded in these small steps. Number 6, all of us, we need support. And you need to have a strong support system. And the 2 best support system, number 1 is the saints who intercede on our behalf and pray on our behalf. Ask St. Mary, ask St. George, ask St. Mark to intercede on your behalf. Make friendship with these saints, like Pope Kyrillus. He had friendship with St. Mina. So they will pray on your behalf. They will support you before God. Also, the other system, I told you there are 2 systems, very strong support system. The first one is a cloud of witnesses around us, as St. Paul mentioned in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Number 2 is your family. I know some of us as teenagers, we have conflict most of the time with our families. But let me tell you, believe me, you will not find anybody love you more than your parents and your family. Maybe they express their love in a way that you don't like. But at the end, no one loves you more than your parents. Because God placed this love in their heart without any effort on their part. So get support from your family and also from God's family. God's family. What's God's family? It is the assembly of the believers. When you are baptized, you join the family of God. So all those who are around us are our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Last point I want to mention. If I don't care attitude, it's not because of failure, it's not because of unrealistic expectation, but if it is because of selfishness, I only care about myself and I don't care about anything else. Some people are so selfish. So they care only about themselves. Only. They don't care about anything else around them. And if they want something, they want it here and now. That's a selfish attitude. And selfishness is a big, big sin. Because it is breaking the first commandment of God, which is love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. So if your I don't care attitude is because you care only about yourself and you don't care about anything else, you need to get rid of your selfishness and to put others before than you, to put their interest before than your interest. Then actually you will feel happy in your life. Believe me, those who are selfish, they don't feel happiness. Even if they have some fun here on earth. Like the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man did not care about Lazarus at all. He did not care about him, that he is hungry, that there is ulcers all over his body. He did not care about him. He cared only about himself. But what happened to both of them after they died? The rich man suffered, tortured in the hell. But Lazarus enjoyed the rest in the bosom of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So get rid of your selfishness if that is the reason of I don't care. May the Lord, who asked us to love one another and to put others about ourselves, may He purify our hearts from this complacency and make us motivated, zealous in serving one another and helping one another. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen. First question, I am in high school and I fall into addiction of drugs. It came to I stole my father and even the church. What should I do? I feel I cannot overcome it. I lost my hope. As I told you, even if you lost your hope, God is the hope of the hopeless and the help of the helpless. And you need actually, as I said, you need a support group. That's why you need to be admitted in a Christian rehab center. This will help you to overcome. Believe me, we have a rehab center in Florida. And every graduation, when the people finish the time they spend in the rehab center, and actually they about to leave the rehab center. So we do like a ceremony for them, for their graduation. And we give them time to speak. And usually many priests come and attend, and His Grace Bishop Basil attends, and myself, I attend. Every time, every single time, when these youth speak, they actually make us cry, literally cry. Why? Because many of them, they say, we came here hopeless, broken, dead, helpless. But gradually, and they were actually very difficult to deal with them at the beginning. Very, very difficult. But gradually, through the grace of God, you know, they were changed. And when they leave the rehab center, they are like new people. Unfortunately, sometimes when they leave the rehab center, go back to the same routine, the same atmosphere. If you remember in my lecture, I said very routine. Because if you're gonna go to the same routine, relapse will happen. And some of them, they relapse. Not because it is hopeless case, but because they went to the same routine, the same wrong coping method. But many, many of them did not relapse. And they now live a successful life. So my recommendation to you, contact the rehab center in Florida and apply and come to us. And through the grace of God, there is hope for you. There is help for you. Through the grace of God, you can be a different person. And let me tell you, just by logic, if you say there is no hope, come and try. If it did not work, although I am sure it will work through the grace of God, but if it did not work, you didn't lose anything. If it worked, then now you became a good person. You get rid of the drugs. So please, contact the rehab center as soon as you can and come, and through the grace of God, there is hope for you and there is help for you. Somebody is saying, my family always at work and never get day off. I know some families do this in order to support their children and their families, and I appreciate your effort to do this. But again, as I said in the lecture, you need to take care of yourself so your productivity will be longer. Even God rested in the seventh day. Take one day off to rest and to take care of yourself and to spend it with your children. Your children don't need your money only. Your children needs you too. They need you more than the money. Yes, I appreciate all the effort you are doing, but your children need you as they need less your money. How many pages of the Bible I should read every day? It's better to read the Bible, not how many pages, but how many chapters. So at least read one chapter a day, unless your father of confession advise you something different. But one chapter a day for, I'm speaking to the middle school and high school, will be good for your age. Is the I don't care attitude a sin? What do you think? It's lack of love, lack of servants to others, lack of trust in God. Yes, it is sin. Yes, it is sin. Can you permanently be banned from becoming a deacon? Very rare, but if there is a strong reason, yes, but it's very rare, very rare. And with repentance, anything can be forgiven. So, but those who don't repent, then how they can become deacons? What age is best to get married? When you are mature spiritually and mature educationally and mature financially and mature mentally, and so maturity in every aspect in your life, that's the best age. If you are not mature, then it is not the right age. Why does God die for only 3 days? Because 3 days were enough to prove that his death is real. He is not just in coma, but to prove that his death is real, 3 days is enough. When someone tells me they don't care about what I am saying, then I say the same thing. How can I stop this? Let us see what is the reason behind them saying to you they don't care about what you are saying. Are you hurting them? Are you making negative comments? Are you criticizing them harshly? So they say, I don't care about what you are saying. Whether you are saying to them is valuable or not valuable. Of course, if some people say non-valuable comments to me, I wouldn't care about what they say. I say only, or I care only about what is valuable. But if they got just to say unreasonable comments, who cares about unreasonable comments? How to deal with a stubborn person? It is very difficult to deal with a stubborn person, but my only advice I say here,
Don't get into power struggle with a stubborn person. Because power struggle means you try to force him to do something. But if he's stubborn, the more you force him, the more he will rebel. So that's what we call power struggle. And at the end, both of you are going to lose. So don't get in power struggle. Give him choices, and you can tell him, if you choose this, this will happen. If you choose this, this will happen. Make up your mind and choose what you want to do. And based on your choice, I will decide my reaction. May the Lord bless all of you. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart. And we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.